Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. We do our very best on this program to give you Bible answers to your Bible questions. When you call in with a Bible question, we're not going to just give you what we think, or what we would like it to be, how we would do it if we're up to us, but we're going to try to give you what the Bible actually says, because it's not up to us. It's not a matter of what we think. It's not a matter of what we like or what we would want it to be. It's a matter of what God likes, how God would want it to be, how it is, based upon what God has said in His Word. That's the answers we're going to try to give you. The lines are open. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Sometimes people have a hard time getting in. Well, here's the time, perfect time. While we're waiting on our first call, what I'd like to talk about is this idea of do Christians have to follow rules? What caused me to think about this is I heard a radio program recently, a Bible program, where the preacher said it was not so important that a Christian follow all the rules of the Bible. The main thing is that you love God. And then I heard my friend Tommy Thrasher preach a good lesson refuting that exact concept. So tonight, while we're waiting on our first call, I thought I might reiterate some of Tommy's points here. First of all, let's read John chapter 14, verse 15, which says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if a Christian loves God, he will keep the rules. When somebody says it's not important to keep the rules, God's rules, in effect, based upon this verse, they're saying it's not important whether or not we love God. Put that way, it sounds absurd, doesn't it? But that's what the verse says. If you love me, keep my commandments, keep my rules. So it is so important that we keep God's rules. You know, from the beginning of time, God expected mankind to follow His rules. What did He tell Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17? Well, let's read that verse. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So from the very beginning of time, God had rules for mankind. Did He expect Adam and Eve to keep that rule? There were dire consequences when they didn't, right? What about in Joshua 6 when God told the Israelites to walk around Jericho once a day for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day? Did they have to obey those rules for God to knock the walls down? Well, they did, didn't they? You see how keeping God's rules was so very important? Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, 1-877-655-6755. The Ten Commandments were instituted in Exodus chapter 20. Did God expect the Israelites to obey those ten rules? For example, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, certainly He did. I remember one time He had the rule about the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. And a man got caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And you know what God said to do to punish that man for picking up sticks on the Sabbath? Stone him. Was it important for them, the Israelites, to keep God's rules, the Ten Commandments? And there were a lot of other commandments too. Certainly it was. Not too many weeks ago, we talked about worshiping God, how that we must not only worship God, but we must worship Him the way He has specified, the way He's told us to. Well, Leviticus 10, 1 through 2 is a passage we read in connection with that. It says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now, Nadab and Abihu were worshiping God, but not according to God's rules. They weren't worshiping God according to the way He had specified. So God was very displeased, wasn't He? So displeased that He sent fire down from heaven to devour them. Now let me ask you this question, and it's important. Does the congregation you worship with, do they worship God according to God's rules on how He wants us to worship Him? Or do they just do what they like or what they think will bring in the most people? What about that? The congregation you worship with, when it's time for the congregation to worship, do they do it according to the New Testament rules on worship, or do they just do what they want to do or what it will bring in the most people? What's the most exciting? Have they ever actually even consulted the rule book, the New Testament, to see the instructions about how God wants us to worship Him? Some churches haven't even thought about that. They didn't know they had to go by God's rules. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or a comment is 1-877-655-6755. You can call about any topic, any Bible topic. The topic we happen to be talking about tonight is, does a Christian have to keep God's rules? Some preachers make fun of that. Heard it on the radio the other day, as I said. They act like it's not important that we keep God's rules. As I said, they say, well, as long as you love God, it's not so important if you keep His rules. But again, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, God in the Old Testament made a rule that no man was to touch the Ark of the Covenant with human hand. And when Uzzah touched the Ark in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 7 through 10, he touched it in order to steady it, to keep it from falling, and as I like to say, to keep it from busting to smithereens. When he touched the Ark, just to steady it, he was struck dead. Evidently, then, it is important to God that we follow His rules. If God says not to do something, don't do it, even if you think it'll help God. That's the position Uzzah was in, evidently. The Ark was about to fall. He reached up, touched it just long enough to steady it. He was trying to help God. But God had said, don't touch it. That was His rule. And when Uzzah broke the rule, even when he was trying to help God, God was so displeased, He took Uzzah's life. Now, we're under the New Testament times. There is no Ark of the Covenant that we can either touch or not touch. We're not under the Old Testament law, but here's a lesson we can learn from that. When God gives us rules in the New Testament, do not violate His rules. Even if you think you might be helping God by violating those rules, don't do it. What God has said to do, we must do, and it's very, very important. We can't just say, oh, God doesn't care if we keep the rules as long as I love Him. Loving Him means you will keep the rules. That's how you demonstrate your love for God, is by keeping the rules. His rules, His commandments. The commandments, the instructions of the New Testament. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 1-877-655-6755. 1-877-655-6755. Let me read you some verses that might help us to see that it's very, very important that we keep God's rules, His commandments, His laws. How about Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9? Here's how that reads. And being made perfect, He, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now, author here is meaning in the sense of source. Jesus is the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. What does that imply about people who do not obey Him? They won't receive salvation, right? They won't receive eternal salvation. Because Jesus is only the source of eternal salvation to those that obey Him, according to Hebrews 5:9. Now, obeying God means keeping His rules. Let's never underestimate the importance of keeping God's rules. Let's never trivialize that. How about Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So just because we're religious, just because we believe in God, just because we say, call Him Lord, Lord, that doesn't mean we're going to heaven. What the critical factor is, according to this verse, is do we do the will of the Father which is in heaven? Do we keep His rules, in other words? Matthew 7:21. 1 Peter 1:22. That verse reads, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How does a person purify his soul? He does it by obeying the truth. Doesn't that sound like keeping God's rules? Yes, the way we purify our souls is by keeping God's rules, obeying the truth, 1 Peter 1:22. I would say that verse teaches it's very important that we keep God's rules. Does the church you attend emphasize that? Do they just say all you got to do is love God and that's good enough, but you don't have to worry so much about keeping His rules, like what we heard on the radio a few weeks back? I hope not, because the Bible won't have any of that. The Bible teaches it's super important that we keep God's commandments, that we obey Him, that we keep His rules. The number to call, 1-877-655-6755. How about James 2:24? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Many say all you have to do to be saved is believe. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, we must accept Christ as our Savior, no doubt about it. But that's not all we must do. This verse teaches that belief, faith, by itself is not enough. We're also justified by works. You see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So, as one of my favorite songs says, we have to trust and obey. We have to believe in God, we have to trust Him, trust in Jesus, and keep His rules. Obey. How about 2 Thessalonians 1:8? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we don't know God, believe in Him, if we don't obey the gospel, God will take vengeance on us with flaming fire. It's important that we obey the gospel. Keep the rules of the New Testament. That's what that means. Obeying the gospel means obeying the New Testament law, keeping the rules. Okay, Phil, go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's an election year, and what role do you believe that Christians should play in politics?
Well, Phil, I don't think you can change very much by involving yourself in politics. So the Bible teaches that in Acts 8:1-4, that every Christian went everywhere preaching the word. And so I think we can do the most good if we'll get out there and live like a Christian, live like we're following Christ, and try to teach as many people we can the gospel. Teach them how they're supposed to live. You know, in the ideal world, if everybody lived like a faithful Christian, you wouldn't even need any politics or any laws, see? So if we'll teach people to obey God, then we won't need any of that other stuff. Now, I know that's a lot easier said than done, and we're not in a perfect world, but I think we can do the most good by doing that. You got a follow-up, Phil?
Well, do you believe that Christians should vote or run for office?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with a Christian running for office if in that office he was not called to do anything that was a sin, that violated the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Phil, if we would spend our time on the thing that's most important. You remember, the Bible teaches we're only traveling through this world. We're not really citizens of this world. We're really supposed to be citizens of heaven. If we'd concentrate on that, maybe we'd be a whole lot better off. Jamie from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, good evening. I got a quick question. Okay. Well, in my neighborhood, there is a group of children that they play baseball, they play football, so anywhere from the ages of 7 to 14. And sometimes they finish playing and they're sitting around a tree or a light pole, and I'm talking with them, and I ask them Bible questions. And sometimes they come with answers that I couldn't even come up with. And I was really like, wow, that makes a lot of sense, you know, to me, you know, after I talk with them. Now, why in the church they have rooms where the in the sanctuary before the preacher start preaching the sermon for the Sunday morning, they go to a different room with a youth pastor? When Jesus said, let the children come to me because there is the kingdom of heaven.
Are you asking?
Why do they go somewhere else instead of being in a sanctuary with the adults?
Okay, you're asking why do they have children's church?
Yeah, where it's, okay. Not, it's nowhere in the gospel to speak about that.
Okay, well, Jamie, the fact that we have things we can call Bible classes or Sunday school, those things are authorized because we're supposed to teach others, and so you can have a Bible class to teach others. And that's why some churches, most churches, have Bible classes or Sunday school classes to arrange the classes many times in different age groups because the people who are 6 years old aren't going to understand nearly as easily as the ones that are 60 years old. But at the end of those Sunday school classes, Bible classes, then normally churches all come together into one place for the assembly. For example, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23 says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. And so it's okay, I believe, to have the Bible classes, the Sunday school classes, but the church also needs to all come together into one place for the church service. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they don't put it that way.
Right?
They
so they're dividing... They're dividing the assembly when they shouldn't be doing that. We should all come together to one place. Let me read. How about Acts 20, verse 7 is what I'm thinking off the top of my head. It says, and when the first, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and that's talking about eat the Lord's Supper, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So that, along with 1 Corinthians 11, teaches that we all ought to come together into one place for the service where we're going to eat the Lord's Supper and so forth and have preaching, Acts 20, verse 7. You have any follow-up, Jamie?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
All right.
Again, the lines are open, 1-877-655-6755, if you have a Bible question or comment. We're talking about, should Christians keep the rules? Do they need to keep the rules? What about Revelation chapter 22, 14? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The tree of life, of course, was there with Adam and Eve, and it represented eternal physical life. In heaven, it says, into the gates of the city, there's going to be a tree of life, which will represent access to this tree would mean eternal spiritual life. Who's going to get there? Who's going to have the right to the tree of life? And who's going to be able to enter into the gates into the city? Heaven. Those that do his commandments, according to Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Do his commandments here is synonymous with keep his rules. Blessed are those that keep God's rules. It's very important that we keep God's rules. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 reads, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, so on the judgment day, we're going to be judged based upon the things that we did in our body. So, you can't just say, well, all I got to do is love him, I don't have to keep his rules. No, we're going to be judged by whether or not we kept his rules based upon whether or not what we did, whether we did good or bad. That's how God is going to judge us. Kenny from Richland, Washington, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, did the Lord abolish the Old Testament laws as far as the dietary laws and the feast laws?
The quick answer to that is yes. Let me read you a few passages, Kenny. This is an important point. For example, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Kenny, do you change the oil on your car?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you, when you change the oil, though, you always change the oil filter at the same time?
Yeah.
What do you do with that old oil filter?
Throw it away.
All right. So this one says there's been a change in the law.
Does that say we throw it away?
No, not exactly, but it says it's not needed anymore. It's not our law for today. It's not binding anymore. The reason we don't throw it away is because we study it, not because it's our law for today, but because reading it and studying it helps us understand the New Testament law, which is our law for today. So the law was changed. It changed from the old law to the new law. Now, notice you use the word abolished, Kenny. How about Ephesians 2:15? Talking about Jesus, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So he's talking about the Old Testament law there, and he says he abolished it. There are many passages like this. Many passages, as a matter of fact, Galatians 5 verse 4 makes this super important. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So if we try to be justified by the feast laws, the dietary laws, the Sabbath law, the animal sacrifices, the circumcision law, any of those laws, then this verse says we're fallen from grace. You see that, Kenny?
Well, yeah, I understand. I understand about you're not justified through the law, but you got to understand what laws Paul is talking about. He's talking about there's two laws. There's the written law and the oral law. He wasn't talking about the written law because the written law can never be changed. According to the written law itself.
Who said that?
Well,
who said it couldn't?
That's what
yeah, the
God
Bible
said.
Never
said.
God never.
You cannot add to this, or you cannot take away from this. So
right.
You can't. But, the only person who can change it is God. Paul can't change it.
Yeah, but Hebrews 7 verse 12 says the law was changed.
Which law?
God's law. The
old. Or the written law. There was two laws.
You have to understand
which law.
The written law.
The written law was never changed. Couldn't be changed. The only person who could change it is God, because he wrote it.
Right, and God did change it. God changed it. Let me look at Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So we're dead to the law. Verse 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law. Now, we're in Romans 7, 4, and 6 says we're dead to the law, delivered from the law. What law was that? Well, notice verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. That's the written law. Brian, from Richland, Virginia, we got 1 minute, so make your question pretty fast.
To almost segue on what you were just talking about, Jesus abolished the law, absolutely. He abolished the law through the payment of sin and death and sacrifice on the cross, when he resurrected. And all you've talked about is a work salvation. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, so no one can boast.
We're going to have to go off the air. Of course, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 does not contradict James 2:24, which says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We'll talk about that more in a future program. Appreciate you listening tonight. If you have any suggestions for a future program,
thank you for
send me a Bible, send me a text.